Well, amen. I want to encourage you, if you would, to pray for the Sommerdorf family. And Kimberly's grandfather went home to be with the Lord this morning. And so that was Brother Dave Sommerdorf's dad. And so if you would pray for the family, I know they would certainly appreciate that. I've had some communication with Brother Sommerdorf last night and then again today. And so if you would pray for them, I know they would certainly appreciate that. We thank the Lord for the truth of heaven. Amen. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Brother Sommerdorf's dad was a saved man. And so we sorrow not as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I'll be looking at verse number 14 once again. And as we've started a series 7 weeks ago now, looking at the instruction that's provided at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll also move over to the end of the book of 2 Thessalonians, and to this model church, a good church, a serving church, a church that believed and practiced what New Testament churches are to do, we find that they receive instruction. As I've mentioned multiple times, the instruction is concise, and it is applicable. And I am thankful that God's word is profitable for us. I'm thankful that it is easy to understand and apply in our lives. I hope that as we've studied here, tonight being lesson number 7, I hope that we have been active in applying these principles in our lives. We find that as we come this evening to the fourth commandment, really, that is found in verse number 14, we find that it begins with this exhortation. Now we exhort you. Remember verse 12, it started with, and we beseech you. And now we find in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren. Remember, he says, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. And then this evening we'll look at this thought, be patient toward all men. As we begin to think about these instructions that God gives in this portion of Scripture, we find that these instructions require that we would be engaged. In other words, there's some action that we need to take. There's something we need to do. When we think about those that are unruly, they need to be warned. And that's an action. That's an active, it's not a passive type of thing. It's an active involvement, warning those that are unruly, comforting those that are feeble-minded, those that are easily discouraged, those that have little faith, if you will, that we would be encouraging them, that we would be comforting them. And then as we looked at last week, supporting the weak. And we said this, that some might be weak physically, but we're really most concerned about those that would be weak spiritually. And some are weak spiritually just because they're new babes in Christ and they're just growing and they're not mature believers, and we need to come alongside them and support them and help them grow and be involved in that process of discipleship. And we find that there are some that are weak spiritually because they're just not growing and they've not taken heed. Remember, as Paul writes to those in the book of Hebrews, he said, in the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you. And so he was not speaking that to commending them for that. He was correcting them for that. As we look at the verse this evening and look at the last phrase of verse number 14, when the Bible says, be patient toward all men. I've used that as the title this evening, just as I have with each of these thoughts over the last several weeks, and begin to think about this verse of Scripture and these instructions. And as we come to this final one, it's probably the most complicated as we would understand this truth of be patient toward all men. Have you ever witnessed someone who lacked patience? No doubt, you've witnessed someone that's lacked patience. Let me ask you this, have you ever lacked patience? Sure we have. Sure we have, right? And we could ask ourselves it this way this evening, is it even possible that we could be patient toward all men, that we could be patient toward people? Because some people say this. Have you ever heard someone say this? People drive me crazy. People annoy me. People bother me. You hear people make those types of statements. Unfortunately, and I've said it from this pulpit before, I seek to correct it when I hear somebody in ministry say it because it really bothers me. But I've heard many people over the years that are in ministry say something like this: the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. And I cannot stand that comment. And here's why: there's no ministry if there's no people. And I believe that the person that would make that statement needs to really evaluate themselves and get in line with the Scripture and not have that perspective. I understand that at times some are trying to be funny. I don't think it's a laughing matter. I think it's a serious thing. And this evening, when we begin to look at this statement, when the Bible says, be patient toward all men, understand with me that God never instructs us, His children, to do something that He will not enable us to be able to do. He does not give us commands. He does not give us instructions that we are incapable of fulfilling. Now, I might not be capable of fulfilling it in my own power, in my own strength, in our own flesh. In fact, in my flesh and probably in your flesh as well, we're not going to be patient toward all men. Amen? But through the help of God, with God's grace and with His help, with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, then we find that God would enable us to be able to fulfill the instruction that He gives to be patient toward all men. The word patient means to be long-suffering. It means to be slow to anger, not easily provoked. It carries with it the idea of being calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses. It also carries with it the idea of not being revengeful. And here God says, be patient toward all men. Why would God tell us that? Because God knows us. Amen. God's the one that created us, and He knows the sinful condition of man. Of course, after the garden, the fall of man, He understands. And the reality is that many of us struggle in the area of being patient or being long-suffering. Some have said, and maybe you've heard it, maybe you've said it, you should never pray for patience. You ever hear somebody say that? Maybe you've been guilty of saying that. I've heard preachers say, you shouldn't pray for patience because then the trials come and that's how God's going to help you get patience. I've heard people say that. And the reality is that the truth, as we look at the word patient and understanding that it means to be long-suffering, it's described as we look at Galatians 5, in fact, turn there, as the fruit of the Spirit. Notice in Galatians 5, and as I look at the truth in Galatians 5, when the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it does not say, but the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I believe that that's important for us to understand because as the next phrase is given to us and all of these words are given in verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, we find that the fruit of the Spirit is described with all of these words, these terms. It's not that I have the fruit of the Spirit, I just don't have that one. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we find here this evening, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever described something? Maybe you've used a number of words in describing something. You had a good dinner and you used a number of words to describe that dinner, but it's all describing the same piece of meat or the same side salad that you had or whatever it might be. And here we find it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Notice what it says. Long-suffering. You see it there? I'm not making it up. It's right there in verse 22. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In verse number 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then God gives us this wonderful truth in verse 17 that all of us have proven to be absolutely true. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Have you experienced that in your life? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are, notice what it says, contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Remember Paul, he says, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that I do. And we find here that he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, we're to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 16, the fruit of the Spirit is described in verse 22 and verse 23. And then the Bible says in verse 24, and they that are Christ, notice, have crucified what? The flesh. With the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we find as we look at this truth of be patient toward all men, that we're not going to be patient toward all men in our own power, our own strength, in your flesh and in my flesh. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must walk in the Spirit. We find that the Bible tells us, as we begin to understand here, where it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we think about the truth of charity or love. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 about love or charity? It says this: charity suffereth long. You know what that word is? It's the same word that's translated long-suffering. Same word. Charity in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 4 is described this way: it suffereth long. You know, we're instructed to love one another. John 13 records it this way. If you would turn there in John 13, the Bible says this: Jesus, of course, as we know, is going to provide this command after he'd washed the feet of the disciples. And then, of course, he's explaining to them about his soon going to the cross of Calvary and all the things that are going to take place. And he says this in verse number 34 of John chapter 13. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you." What is this? "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So we understand that we're to love as Christ loved. And he says this in verse 35, "By this," by what? "By this love that we have one toward another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We find that the Bible tells us that Jesus gives this command that we're to love one another. We find that the Bible tells us, if you want to jot it down, we won't turn there, but in 1 Peter 4, in verse number 8, the Bible says that we're to have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent charity, this love. But the Bible describes charity or love in 1 Corinthians 13 as it suffereth long. And so this evening, as we begin to understand and try to unwrap, if you will, this truth that is given to us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14, where the Bible says, "Be patient toward all men." I think, honestly, tonight, if we'd each be transparent and honest, this is an area in which we struggle with. People can really kind of get on our nerves, right? I mean, be transparent tonight. Don't leave me up here on an island by myself, amen? And the reality is people can, they can be annoying from time to time. I can be annoying. Amen? You can be annoying. We all can. But he says, be patient toward all men. I want to go over and consider an example that we read of in Matthew chapter 18. Look in Matthew 18, if you will, with me tonight. And here's the reality. And begin to think about this instruction where the Bible says, be patient toward all men. We could find ourselves, if we're not careful, being patient with certain people and then lacking patience with others. We could find ourselves in a position where we desire for others to be patient toward us while we are not demonstrating patience toward others. But again, we must recognize and we must understand that this is not something that you're going to conjure up in your own flesh. It's not something that you're just going to, you know, sometimes, oh, well, they're just patient. I mean, they were just blessed with patience. No, be patient toward all men. It's a command. But I can only do it through the help of God, and we find that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is described as being long-suffering. Notice with me in Matthew 18, and we're going to pick it up in verse 21. Notice what the Bible says. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times." Now, honestly, what Peter is saying here was looked at by that particular era and those others that would be in that arena of time and culture. Really, he was being quite generous in saying, till seven times. Because it was only thought that maybe two or three times you might forgive someone. But Peter says, till seven times. And Jesus says, we are familiar. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You see that in verse 22. Now, I've said this before, and you understand this. It is not the idea that Jesus was teaching that you keep a record book, and when they get to 490 offenses, you're off the hook. You don't have to forgive them anymore, right? That's not the idea. By the way, I'm thankful that my God and your God forgives. Notice what he says in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." Now, really, this particular amount that is mentioned in verse 24 is really beyond the ability to ever repay. And the Bible says that this is what he owed, but for as much, notice in verse 25, as he had not to pay, he had no way to pay, it says his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The reality is that even if they were sold, that it would not satisfy the entirety of the debt, but we find that that would have been within the rights legally to do. And I want you to notice in verse 26, the Bible says this, "The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying," look, notice what he says, "Lord, have what? Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Now, I really don't think he ever would have been able to pay all when you understand the amount of 10,000 talents, but we find that really what I want to focus on this evening as we look at this thought of be patient toward all men is that this man, understanding his circumstances, understanding the condition, understanding what was at stake, he falls down and he says, "Have patience with me." No doubt, we can relate with this man where we want others to be patient with us. Just be patient. Notice verse 27, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion." Notice what the Bible says, "and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Isn't that amazing? But I want you to see, this is an interesting passage of Scripture that helps us to see really the tendency of humanity. The same servant, you notice it says the same servant, right? Is that what your Bible says? The same servant. So this one that just had this situation unfold in his life, this situation where 10,000 talents are owed, he cannot pay, it's impossible. The master says, "Okay, we're going to sell you and your family, and we're going to take care of the debt." And he says, he falls on his knees and says, "Lord, be patient with me." This same servant that was forgiven, where the Bible says that he had compassion, the Lord, the master had compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt, the Bible says that the same servant went out. And what does he do? Well, he finds his fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence is nothing compared to 10,000 talents. I mean, just a very insignificant amount compared to the 10,000 talents. And I want you to notice that the Bible says that he, this same servant that had just experienced what he experienced, he laid hands on him. On who? On this fellow servant that owed him 100 pence. And he took him by the throat. Notice what he said, "Pay me that thou owest." And I want you to see it. Many of us are familiar with this, but I want you to see it, and I hope it will help us today. The Bible says that his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Is this not the same thing that he did? Notice what he says, "and he besought him." What did he say? "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." The same exact thing that this servant said to his master. Is it not? "Have patience with me. Have patience with me." And it says that the first four words of verse number 30, "and he would not." And he would not. He would not what? He would not have patience. He would not allow for this man to have a season, an opportunity to be able to earn the money, to be able to pay back the debt. He did not forgive the debt and excuse it all like he had experienced and what he had received. He didn't even have enough compassion to have enough patience to let this servant work to pay it off. The Bible says that he cast him into prison
till he should pay the debt. I understand that we could look at this passage of Scripture and we could make many applications, and understand this evening that as we look at this particular passage in light of the truth of 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 14, I find so often that when we consider the thought of patience, when we consider the thought of being long-suffering, where here God gives us clearly this instruction to the local church. He says, now we exhort you, brethren. And he says, warn them that are unruly. And no doubt that's a necessity. That's something that needs to happen. I said this a few weeks ago. Ignoring the problem of the unruly is not going to resolve the problem. It's just going to make the situation worse. It has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with. And God in His sovereignty and His omniscience, He knew that local churches would deal with some that would be unruly. I'm thankful that it's not all the time that people and all the people are unruly, but you find that God gives the instruction. When there are those that are unruly, they need to be warned. Why would we warn the unruly? Well, so they could correct their behavior, so that they could be pleasing to the Lord, because one day they're going to stand before Christ. And you want to be able to, as Paul says in the book of Colossians, that they would be able to be presented perfect or complete before the Lord. And so we find that warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. You know, there are some people that it just becomes almost more natural to be an encourager and to be able to encourage others. I said this, that there are times in which we are the one doing the encouragement and times in which we're the ones that need the encouragement. And no doubt I'm thankful that Barnabas was a man, that he was a son of consolation, a comforter and encourager. I'm thankful that this was true in the life of the Apostle Paul, that he had someone that would come and encourage him. Remember, he said, as we studied that portion of Scripture, how God chose to comfort him by the coming of Titus, and how God will use us as individuals to comfort those that need the comfort to come and to get close to him and speak to them, to comfort them. We find that there are some that need to be supported. Support the weak. Support the weak. There are some that are just weak. Some receive a phone call. They have a doctor's visit. They have you just fill in the blank. Life can take a turn in a moment. You can get devastating news. And you have no idea how that might impact you, how it might affect you. We ought not, as we think about these truths of warn them and comfort them and support them, those that are unruly, those that are feeble-minded, those that are weak, we understand it's not judge them, it's not criticize them, it's not condemn them, it's not, no, it's an active engagement of trying to help them grow in Christ. But then he says, be patient toward all men. I think in verse number 14, naturally speaking, the one that's the hardest is the final. Be patient toward all men. But we find that with the help of God, as we're truly walking in the Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, as we've crucified the flesh and the affections thereof, we can demonstrate this godly patience, this long-suffering, This attitude that we find demonstrated here in this portion of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians where God says, be patient toward all men. I wonder this evening, I started out by asking some questions. Have you ever witnessed someone that lacked patience? Sure we have. Have you ever lacked patience? I'm pretty confident that all of us have. At some point in our lives, we've lacked patience. Is it possible that we could be patient toward all men? Well, if it's not possible, God would not have instructed us to do so. But knowing that God instructed us to do so, it's obvious that we can with God's help. I use the illustration in the book of Matthew this evening for this purpose. Don't be like that individual that wants people to be patient with them and then turn around and not have patience with others. It's so common and so easy for us to fall in the trap. It's a human tendency that we see on display in Matthew 18. Have patience with me, but then I'm going to go around and I'm not going to have patience with others. God's people ought to be different. God's people ought to be different. And God tells us, be patient toward all men. I wonder this evening, I know for me, even as I prepared, man, I need the help of God. You need the help of God. We need to be walking in the Spirit if we're going to be patient toward all men. And let me tell you this. You ever hear something? My dad uses this terminology all the time. I'm not sure if other people use it or not, but he says people push his buttons. You ever hear somebody use that phraseology? And someone said, I was looking for the off button. It was a bad decision. But what I'm saying this, when you seek to try to fulfill, as you're walking in the Spirit, you can guarantee that there are going to be some things that happen where if I could adopt and use for a moment that phrase, people are going to push your buttons. I wonder this evening how quickly we can get into the flesh and not walk in the Spirit. Because it requires us to be dead to self, and we walk in the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He says, be patient toward all men. Oh, that God would help us in this area. Say, I'd rather warn the unruly, but they're all there, amen? And we're responsible to fulfill all of them, that we are to warn the unruly, we are to comfort the feeble-minded, we are to support the weak, but we're also commanded to be patient toward all men. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I pray, God, that you'd help us. We acknowledge this evening that we cannot, in our own flesh, in our own power, begin to fulfill this piece of instruction that you've given us in your word. It's absolutely going to be only achievable as we walk in the Spirit, as we crucify the flesh, as we're filled with the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to daily, as Paul said, I die daily. Daily, that we would say, I am crucified with Christ. That we'd be emptied of self, filled with your Spirit. That we'd be able to, with your help and by your grace, obey this instruction to be patient toward all men. I thank you for the privilege of prayer, the corporate prayer. I pray that you'd bless all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening? Anyone not get one on your way in? All right, let's start in the back, look at some updates from our missionaries. The first